Tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm they cry for you.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. And on to Victory Monday, it's always great to have Jason Wilde join us here on Kyle, Bruston, Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, what's up?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, just, you know, we're having a fun show so far.
I'm great, Jason.
We're obviously discussing Jordan Love because he is quite the entertainer out there. And I listened to your discussion on Wilde and Tausch about if it's a compliment to Jordan Love to be compared to Brett Favre. And I think those who don't think it's a compliment, you know, you got to remember Brett Favre was really, really, really good. Am I right?
Yes, you're right. Look, I don't, it's more nuanced than that, though.
Of course.
Right? Like, the comparison we're making is not to meant to, and this was, you know, I didn't love the phrasing of how the question was asked to LaFleur yesterday. Like, I really don't like the term talking heads, because I would certainly like to believe that we do a better job of discussing things across ESPN Wisconsin than just being talking heads. But the fact of the matter is that Brett Favre threw a lot of critical interceptions and lost playoff games that way. Just like you can say that Aaron Rodgers in some of his later playoff games wasn't good enough, right? He didn't turn the ball over necessarily, but he certainly didn't go and win games like one of the greatest of all time you want to see do. So, you know, when we talk about Favre and Love, what we're talking about really is being more of a risk-taking quarterback than Rodgers was. And sometimes those pay off, and sometimes they don't. And in the case of yesterday, he obviously threw two picks. He's up to 8 on the season, playing in 6 games, and that's too high of a percentage. Whether or not you want to compare them to Favre, I mean, the time that I compared him to Favre was when he threw the underhanded, falling down, stumbling interception that turned into a pick six. That was something that looked a lot like Brett Favre to me. But the bottom line is, he is, as I keep saying, working toward becoming a fully formed franchise quarterback. And he's not there yet. And he's testing those limits. And he's finding out what works and what doesn't work, and what's a bridge too far in terms of risk, and what's an acceptable amount of risk. And all those things are part of the process. And I think that was probably my biggest frustration last year with the amount of crowning that was going on of him after the way the final 8 regular season games and the 1.5 or 1.75 playoff games went. It looked easy, but I knew that there was going to be growing pains, and I think that's what we're seeing. He's still undeniably an ascending good NFL quarterback who is probably going to be, when it's all said and done, very good to perhaps great to perhaps Hall of Fame, who knows? But the bottom line is, that's a process to get there, and he's going through it right now.
Yeah, Jason, you had a conversation with Romeo Doubs after the game, right? And this is something that a storyline that sort of faded away, but it still feels like there's a little bit of unknowns remaining. So what was your biggest takeaway from that conversation? And if additionally, he said a line of, you know, he's just happy, still happy to be a member of the Green Bay Packers. Was there anything more to that comment, or was it laced in gratitude? Just what was your takeaway from, you know, your conversation with him, and then that line specifically?
Yeah, I just thought he was grateful to still be here, obviously. I think he would acknowledge now that he handled whatever frustrations or emotions he was feeling poorly, and you can't leave your team in the lurch, and you have to communicate with the people who care about you. And so I think all those things, he learned from that scenario. And look, let's be honest, they've won the 2 games since he's been back, and he's been an important piece of those wins, right? I mean, yesterday, the dude had 10 targets. Like, this was always the struggle I had when this news first started, was it just didn't make any sense logically that he might be unhappy with his role, given the circumstances of the season. And so, you know, I think he realized that he took the wrong approach. It's okay for him to have felt the way he felt. Everyone's entitled to feel however they feel, but it's how you handle those feelings and what you do about them. And obviously the approach he took was not exactly constructive. So he seemed very authentic to me. It was a one-on-one conversation, which I'm not saying for exclusivity purposes so much as I'm saying for maybe a little more comfortability for him. And that's why he was willing to say something like that with someone who's talked to him a lot of times over the last 2.5 years. But the bottom line is he's been a key piece in each of their last two wins. For a guy who obviously was suspended, that's a pretty important bounce back, and now we'll see if he can keep that momentum going.
So, Jason, would you say that if there was any issue with the team at all, that's 100% in the past?
I don't think I could say that, Brad. I mean, you know, our interaction was 2.5 minutes long, and I don't know. I would say this: if you're unhappy with your role now, then there would be a major problem. Right. I mean, he has been a critical piece each of the last two games. And
for sure.
So I don't think he has a whole lot of space to feel that way about it. But again, I can't speak for certain about how he might be feeling. All I know is that he was definitely feeling gratitude that he was able to be a factor in that game.
Jason Moldy joining us here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin.
Jason, do you think yesterday was a turning point for this defense? I mean, it was a very pleasant performance. I didn't like how many yards that Joe Mixon got.
Pleasant.
Yeah, it was. It was a pleasant one. But overall, did we really see the identity of this football team maybe come through yesterday defensively?
Well, wait a minute. If it was only pleasant, does that mean you do or do not think that we saw the identity of this defense come through yesterday?
No, I think we saw parts of it, right? Overall, with the way that they're able to get pressure, sending five, all the stunts that they did. Obviously, with the running game, Joe Mixon is very, very talented at running back, but I do think we got a glimpse of what this identity is going to be, is that they're going to be a pretty good defense, pass defense, but then on top of that, able to bring pressure with doing different stunts on the D-line.
Yeah, so you're encouraged, right?
Like, yeah, that's the word.
Like a Packers fan? Yeah, you should be. They've certainly – it's hard to play defense in the NFL, first of all. All the rules are against you. They want points, so that makes it tough. Secondly, it's really hard when your offense gives the other team the ball or your special teams gives the other team the ball, what, on the 11-yard line twice and then once at, like, the 40 or 45, something like that. Like, they were put in some adverse situations against a good offense. I know they were missing Nico Collins, but – that's still a pretty darn good group that they went against, and they played really well. It's why Jeff Hafley got a game ball from Matt LaFleur. I think we did see what this team is going to be about. And you know, I asked LaFleur this a little while ago, and this is what I'm really intrigued by. You know, a lot of coaches, especially defensive coaches, their mentality is we do what we do, and we're going to trust our system, and it's going to work for us, and we don't have to adjust or change, which, in my opinion, doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because this league is all about how you adjust and how you handle adversity and what you do when things aren't working the way you want them to. And I love the fact that Hafley, who, like most defensive coordinators, doesn't want to blitz. He wants to just get pressure with his front four and have that be sufficient. Didn't just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Instead, he took a different approach yesterday. He blitzed more. He sent different guys. He dropped guys out. I mean, I think it's really interesting that he basically took a page out of Brian Flores' playbook with the Vikings and brought guys up to the line of scrimmage. There was that one play where they had eight guys up at the line of scrimmage, but then they sent four, but it wasn't the front four defensive linemen, and they got a sack out of it. Like, he moved Rashawn Gary around a bunch.
I love that.
Rashawn Gary was actually productive after, you know, some not so productive first few games. So what I like about Jeff Hafley is if something's not working, he's not stubborn, and he starts to look for other ways he can do stuff. And to me, that's the mark of a good coach. So I think this defense is certainly headed in the right direction. Do I think they're going to have more games where things don't go the way they wanted them to? I do. Of course they are. That's how this works. But if I were you, I would be undeniably encouraged by what I saw.
Jason, you know, I'm having Maybe you can help me here. I'm having an interesting time trying to figure out the, you know, you can. The usage of Josh Jacobs. When I see 12 carries for 76 yards and a 6.3 average, and I see Jordan Love throw some passes and then, you know, 33 attempts, he throws a lot of passes. I look over and I know they're not built the same way, but the way that the Lions run the football effectively and Jared Goff is able to utilize play action in a way that I don't think any other team in the NFL is able to do, can they be leaning into Josh Jacobs a little bit more, especially on a day where he's averaging 6.3 yards per carry to help Jordan Love a little bit? I know they don't run play action a lot. Maybe that was because of the pass rush that they might have been scared if it gave more time for them to get to J. Love. I don't know. I'm talking out loud here because I'm trying to figure out a way to make him a little bit more efficient.
You're talking out loud or you're thinking out loud?
Both.
Okay. all right. Let's take a look at some of their play. They had one drive of double-digit plays. They had a four and out, a three and out, a one-play drive that they threw an interception on, right? Another three and out, another three and out, a four and out. So that's – I got them with six possessions where they had four or fewer plays on that possession. That's why Josh Jacobs didn't get more carries. Like, you can't have that many, for lack of a better term, crappy possessions. Daniel Whelan, who had a fantastic day, not only did he get the ball down on the game-winning field goal, but he kicked the ball extremely well. In the punt game, he punted five times. They also had two drives where they threw interceptions. So now that's seven empty possessions, and then they had three touchdown drives and a field goal drive. So I look at that and go, there's no way that Matt LaFleur, because Matt LaFleur is not a moron, wants to only have Josh Jacobs have 12 carries, especially when he's, you know, getting lathered up and being productive. But if you don't pick up first downs, LaFleur said it today, if you don't move the sticks, it's awfully hard to run the football. And especially when you think about 2 minute drills or end of half drills or whatever it might be, you know, those are passing situations. So I don't think his touches are in any way an issue. I don't think there's any question that they would have liked to have gotten him the ball far more than they did in that game. But I don't think it was like, we forgot we have this good running back. I think it was, you know, we didn't get enough first downs to have sustained drives that would have allowed us keep feeding our running back the football.
No, I hear you. Now I am going through the play-by-play and looking at the opportunities where they could have utilized him, and I'll be playing that game and looking at that during the break because I'm intrigued in where there might have been missed opportunities with the production that he had, but I love the insight. We appreciate you joining us on Mondays, and we listen to you on Woolley and Tausch.
So wait a minute now. You're going to go through the game. You're going to go through the stat book, and you're going to find that on their second possession, that Love threw on first down. They did that crummy end around to Melton that lost a yard. So now it's third and seven. So you got to throw again.
And that one's valid, right? You're not just going to run the ball with Jacobs there. I see second and three, find Sims, and then you're third and one. And I remember seeing the end around, and I was like, end around with Jaden Reed. Are we getting too cute? Like, run the football. Like, I'm just kind of now utilizing the context which you provided to see where there might have been opportunities to utilize his efficiency.
Well, and then there's another drive, obviously, in the second quarter where they gave that drive to Emmanuel Wilson. And Emmanuel Wilson got one, two, three, four straight carries. So they still ran the football, maybe not with the guy that is their number one running back, but they want Emmanuel Wilson to be involved too. And that turns into the drive that Love hits Wicks for the 30-yard touchdown. So, again, I don't personally think that they missed a lot of opportunities to get Jacobs the ball. And by the way, they did get him his first touchdown catch of his career, which was a pretty darn cool story too.
Sure was. We appreciate the time, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Mobley, listen to him on Willie and Tausch across these very stations.
To that, I really think that Josh Jacobs needs to have a minimum of 25 touches a game.
I was going to say, I do want to dive a little bit deeper into this. Now he's got my brain churning, and I don't want to play like, let's go through every play, but I have a hard time believing, based off like the fact that Emmanuel Wilson got four straight carries, that you couldn't have given Josh Jacobs, after a 7-yard pickup on their third drive of the game, they go pass to Ben Sims and an end around to Jaden Reed, pound the freaking rock. He was getting 5 to 7 yards a carry, not just by average, but literally by carry. It wasn't like a, you know, 30-yard and a 2-yard. He was consistently finding, cutting, and getting through gaps and holes, and I love the way they ran the ball. We'll get to that. Kyle Bruston-Hortman across ESPN Wisconsin and a whole lot more.